Well, we have a very special program for you this evening, and it could be called The Story of Four Legends, because we have four very special gentlemen on the program for you this evening. Two extremely talented musical entertainers, legends in their own lifetime. I'm talking about Mick Delahunty and Mr. Showman, all the way from Gortrue, the enormously talented Art Supple. And sharing some wonderful memories, taking us a trip down memory lane, two more legends, Mr. Frank Keane, champion environmentalist and co-presenter of Light and Easy here on CRY on Sunday mornings, and all-round entertainer and wonderful Shanachie and storyteller, Mr. Liam Gleeson, will be joining us from his home in Ardmore via the phone. So a wonderful programme. Put on the kettle there and sit back and relax as we bring you some wonderful musical memories and some wonderful stories in the course of the next hour and a half. And we're going to begin now with a little piece of music from Mick Delahunty. And for those of you maybe not au fait with Mick Delahunty, he was born in Clonmel on the 11th of November 1915, playing the mouth organ, tin whistle and piano accordion from an early age. Mick Delahunty's musical career began in earnest when his mother Mary Kate bought him a coronet when he was 14, and which he taught himself to play. He put a band together, a six-piece, to help some friends from Care to fulfil an engagement on Easter Sunday night, 1933, when their own band cancelled. He was 18 years of age. He named the outfit the Harmony Sound. The Second World War broke out in 1939, and very soon thereafter, rationing was introduced in Ireland, hitting petrol supplies severely. In 1942, Mick decided to turn full-time professional because a lot of the time the band had to travel by steam train and then stay over. In 1945, Mick was engaged to play 1 hour's relief to a British orchestra led by Teddy Foster at the Mayfair Ballroom in Kilkenny. Foster opened and gave the dancers 60 minutes of powerhouse music. Then Mick took to the bandstand to begin his hour, opening with an old-time waltz. Instead of playing for an hour, Mick had to play for over 3 hours, with the patrons loving every minute. Quick steps, waltzes, tangos, et al. Mick Delahunty had arrived. The wonderful Mick Delahunty and his orchestra there, Little Brown Jug. Well, everybody likes a good story, don't they? And we're going to have some wonderful reminiscences during the course of the evening from two great people, Frank Keane and Mr. Liam Gleeson. And of course, Liam has very strong connections with Gortrue and Ardmore. He'll be telling us a little bit about both and telling us a few nice stories as well. Hope you can stay with us for that. So I thought to set the scene before we speak to Liam, we might have that wonderful man, Mr. Showman, Art Supple, to sing The Village of Gortrue. Now, wasn't that just wonderful? Mr. Art Supple there and the Village of Gortrue, which is a nice way and an appropriate way of introducing our two special guests, Frank Keane. Good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Tom.
Who's joining us here in the studio and on the phone line from his sunny Ardmore, at great expense and personal inconvenience, as he'd say himself, the wonderful Liam. Liam, good evening. Liam Gleeson. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Tommy, and good evening, Frank.
Good evening, Liam. Lovely to hear from you.
You too, my friend.
I assume the sun is shining over Ardmore this evening, Liam?
The sun is always shining over Ardmore and the people never grow old.
But listen, you have to be careful now because your roots aren't in Ardmore, they're in Gortrue.
No, I have it lucky enough to be bred and born in Gortrue.
In Gortrue. Very good.
See, there are wonderful gentlemen. Art Supple, one of the greatest entertainers who ever to grace an Irish stage. And I'll give more about him anon. And when he was singing that song, there was a couple of people I thought about. Owen Birmingham, another fine gentleman, and I emphasise the word gentleman, and a great teacher. And his assistant at the time was Bridgie Glavin, Miss Glavin, as she was respectfully known. Another great teacher and very much into music. And at a later stage, we won't forget her, a young lady came in by the name, just before I left school and got through, called Miss Cronin. She later became the wife of Professor Dan Dineen.
Wow.
Fine man that now is now still domiciled in Gortrew.
And did you like going to school, may I ask, in Gortrew? Was it a happy time for you, Liam?
Something what I did. There was never a seventh class in that era, but I stayed back for one more class just to revise fifth and sixth classes in that time before I went to vocational school in Yall.
And was it a big class you were in, Liam, or a small school? What kind was the school in those days?
65 and 70. 70 pupils, but as the numbers grew a little bit, we qualified for a third teacher.
Great. And can you remember some of the your friends in school?
Of course, I was. Joe Smitty was ahead of me, Noel Griffin, Billy Griffin, John Arnott, Michael Cronin, John Cronin, Anna Therese O'Neill, God rest her. Some of them have gone to their
eternal reward, yeah.
And they were wonderful times.
Great. You enjoyed school?
I did.
And tell me, were you good at the old football and hurling in those days?
No, I was a limited hurler. I couldn't play football. Very limited hurling. Whatever talent they got for my mother and father, well, not for dancing. My mother taught me how to dance, but I'd rather be able to play hurling as good as I could dance. If I could play hurling as good as I could dance, I'd have about 5 all stars.
And Liam, Gortrew itself, was it a nice place for a youngster like yourself to grow up?
I was born in 1946, so from 1951 onwards was a wonderful time to be living in Gortrew, and I'll tell you why. In 1951, St. Edith's won their first junior big red championship.
Brilliant.
Number two, Mick Delahunty began a 10-year stint in the showboat in Yall.
Wow.
54, the ESB came to Gortrew. What a wonderful time to be living in Gortrew when the ESB came on. And last but not least, in 1958, Jerry Lucy, God rest him and Mort, and rest him too, decided to buy a farm over in Red Barn, and Red Barn came alive in 1958.
Wow. That was some historic events, wasn't it? Go back there to the St. Edith's winning. Was that their first county championship?
It was their first year. They were fallen. Would you believe it? Frank will slip off the chair there. They were fallen in 19. They played in 1901.
Okay.
In against Blackrock in the junior championship. In 1902, they played a team by Evergreen. Then they continued on at a very low level. They won no championship matches, but they won a lot of tournament matches. And some of the names that played around the 1930s was Jack Cullum, who was playing goal, and there was a man who was playing full-back from called Big Jack Welsh. He was officially known as the Gortrew Clock 8, so he mustn't be a small man.
The Gortrew Clock 8, wasn't that a great name?
If I can mention Paddy Welsh, he was a great hurler. And for those who follow the pedigrees in the horses, nature's a wonderful thing. He produced his granddaughters, Angela Welsh, Donny Welsh's daughters, were great Camogie football players. And their granddad was Paddy Welsh. He would hold his own in that era in any company.
And Liam, with us we have, of course, your good friend and mine, Frank Keane. Frank, you were miles too young to remember 1951. St. Edith's winning, were you?
Well, I remember 1901, Tom. They played Blackrock in the championship, isn't that right, Liam?
Correct.
In 1902, they played Evergreen.
Evergreen.
No.
Well, that's going back. Well done, yeah. Frank. Yeah. And the 1951, that was a special occasion, as
Liam was saying. Gortrew always produced a great hurler. Yeah. Like, go back to your great friend, Jimmy Geary.
If you look at the history of Gortrew, I named two or three fellas. Willie Sloan was the first Gortrew man to play for Cork. He played it in 1937 wearing the number 5 jersey, right half-back against Limerick, down in Limerick, in the sports field in Limerick. He was wearing number 5. He got 3 points from the half-back line, 2 70s and a free. He took all the frees for Cork. He wasn't a big, robust man, but he was a very, very wristy hurler.
Wow.
And if you come on to 1943 and 44, a man we buried, Frank knows well, Jimmy Geary, was a tiger of a man. He was in the reserves in the army, and he won 2 All-Irelands with Mick Mackey in All-Army Championship medals. In 1943 and 44, one of them was played in Cork Park. Michael O'Hare gave a live commentary on Radio N for the match. And in 44, the following year, it was played in Parnell Place. Geary, as we effectively called him, was playing centre-back. And he was the only man on the team that never played for his county. Wasn't he in good company?
Genie, that was amazing.
And of course, we'll have to keep going and put the rest of them to bed. Then we came to 66, and Willie Welsh in 1970, when he won his All-Ireland, he was one of the greatest men ever placed in the forward for Cork. And at the moment, we have young Shamie Hannity, who will probably win his medal this year.
What a player.
Hopefully. And last but not least, one other good through man who won an All-Ireland. He was playing for O'Brien's, which are now Father O'Neill's. Billy Barry was in goals on the Cork junior team in 1947.
Excuse me now, Liam. Do you remember all of these, or have you them written down? That's fantastic memory.
I fancy myself as a hurling historian, and there's no day I wouldn't pick up the Bible, as I call it, and refer back to something that come up in a discussion to make sure I have it right.
Well, I must say that's a very impressive recollection there by yourself, Liam. And Frank, you're no stranger as well to collecting little anecdotes and stories. You're great at it as well.
Well, I referred, I suppose, to Willie Welsh there, and Willie and myself were marvellous friends, of course. I suppose Liam would always be known as Willie's motivator. They were great friends always. And of course, Willie and myself, we came on the Cork minor team in 1966.
That was brilliant. Well done, Frank.
You know. And
1956, was it?
66.
66.
That was the famous year, as Liam will recall. Cork had been in the wilderness at senior level for 12 years, I suppose. 56, they played Wexford, and Wexford beat them. And 54, Ring won his 8 All-Ireland medal. But Willie Welsh was one of the greatest hurlers of all time, I suppose. But his career was short, Liam.
While he was there, though, he made his presence felt.
I suppose he won the best centre forward. Well, Christy Ring always maintained, like, you know, that he was a chip off Ring's block, like, because Welsh, he feared, he was fearless.
And was he from Gortrue now?
Gortrue,
isn't that a wonderful claim? Done, Gortrue, and well done, the Welshes. And is his family still there, or his?
Well, his sister is down in Ballymadogan. His son now, Barry, is down in Ballymadog as well.
Isn't that nice for them? Yeah, well done.
That was his native shore.
And he was an international karateist there, Willie's son, Barry.
But you wouldn't be taking him on, though.
No. And of course, he's married to the famous Mary Regan.
Correct.
Well done. Good evening to them all.
Yeah.
Staying with the player who won a Hattie Cup medal with St. Comans and Fermoy was Michael Birmingham.
Owen
Birmingham's son.
That's right.
Well done.
Yeah.
But with your permission, Frank, before we leave the hurling arena, I'd like to be allowed to call out the team that played against Cove in the East Cork Junior B in Middleton in 1951.
Perfectly.
Very good.
Denny Murray was in goals, who got a couple of runs on the Cork senior team in the league. At right full back was Billy Smitty. Billy would be known to a lot of people in Yarl. He was the man who was carrying the CIE goods to the shops.
That's right.
At fullback was Joe Motherway, who took no prisoners. Worked for Imakili Creamery, collecting the churns all around the barney. And left cornerback was Willie Smitty. He'd be one of the 3 brothers, Smitty brothers, on the team. Willie was to do the Imakili butter down around to all the shops in East Cork. At right half-back was Jim Griffin Pillmore. We buried him there about 2 years ago. He gave a great service to the club, and he ended up as president. He was 12 years in that position, right half-back. Centre-back was Paddy Murphy Burgess. And left half-back was John Lyons, a guard in the Phoenix Park, and his job was, he was a ministerial driver at the time, John Lyons. Lorna Parker was Jerry Lee, the youngest man in the team at 23. He was the captain. And alongside him was Packy Murphy's brother, Mickey Murphy, who played several times cornerback for McKilly. The half-forward line was John Corman of Ahavine, now in the hospital in Yall, and John Corman was playing right half-forward. Jimmy Geary, who needs no introduction, was centre-forward, and left half-forward was Mick Smitty, a brother of Willie's and a brother of Joe's, who gave great service to the club as well. Right full forward was the late Jerry Corman. Full forward was John Smitty, a brother of Mick and Willie and Joe, who that day got 3 goals in the East Cork final. And last but not least, the man a lot of people around y'all would know, we call him Tom Neil, but his correct name was Tom O'Neill. Tom was corner forward. The subs on the day were Willie Geary, Kevin Cashman, Tom Daly got through, Eddie Sloan, and last but not least was Willie Sloan, who was getting long in the tooth at that time. And the score was St. Edith's 5-2, Cove 3-5. History was made.
Wow.
Well done, Liam.
A great day altogether. And was there a big crowd at that match? Can you remember, Liam?
There was very little traffic. Art Supper was a very young boy. He played hurling for Gort St. Edith's as a 13-year-old above in Killa in the May Sunday tournament against Killa, being backed by a fellow by the name of, God rest him, he's gone on, Neighbour Foley. And he travelled in Jack Airy's bus, in Jack Airy's lorry.
Wow.
And what they did was, they took the stools out of the hall and put them into the back of the lorry. And they travelled, that's the way they travelled to the match.
Imagine that.
My farmer and Moss Lee, whose son was playing, and Moss Lee was my father's uncle, Jerry Lee's father, they travelled with Jim Sweeney in a dray, a donkey in dray, but wait for it. There was 2 donkeys under the dray. One of them was in between the shafts. Inside shaft by the ditch, carried away.
Wow. Wasn't that another time altogether now, Liam?
Time, lads. You must remember now, when they came back to go through, there was no electricity.
Imagine that.
That's right.
Was Hickey's. It was Hickey's that time, since Michael Farrell's now.
That's correct.
And was there big celebrations in the village that night? And I suppose for a week afterwards, I suppose.
When they got home, those who had money were drunk and they went home.
What about your niece and Liam, your dad?
Making his contribution.
Yeah. He hurled as well, Liam, didn't he?
Yeah, well, someone said to me, he didn't play that much of it. He had other hobbies, but he was a man for a job.
Yes.
If he was to mark a man, well, he might pass him in, but he wouldn't be passing him out, like.
Yeah.
And tell me now, was there a big revival then in sport as a result in Gortru, as a result of that win, Liam?
52 and 53. Like, you must remember, Tommy, that most of the lads were farmers. It was hard to get them to play. They had plenty of work going on when they should be training. And, like, they had a long innings insofar as that they finished in 54 and it wasn't revived again until 1971 when Tommy Geary and Jerry and Jimmy Geary and Willie Sloan revived it again.
The club, you mean? The club itself?
Yes.
Wow, that was a long wait, wasn't it, really?
No.
And it's gone from strength to strength ever since, sir.
A player for got through.
Yeah.
Willie Welsh went to Yall in 65.
Yeah.
We had no team. I went up and played with Killer. A few more lads went to Ballymacoda. Father O'Neill, Billy Gleason, Billy Flavin, John Cunningham. Michael Barry and I played with Killer. Because there was no team. If we didn't have, like in evening 51, Willie Sloan went up to the East Cork board meeting in 1951 and he didn't have a team. He affiliated a team and he didn't have the players. And I can say this now. When we played in the first round of the championship in Killa, we played in the legal team.
Well, God forgive you.
We had only 14 players.
Imagine that, Liam.
We hadn't the 15. Fortunately, the man that played was a Gortru man, but he wasn't eligible. as Mikey Bryan or Reston would say, he played outside the county.
And tell us, Liam, where did you play? What position did you play?
In goals, when they picked me, and Conor forward when I was... I played when I was picked.
Yeah, very good.
And be damn glad to get on.
And were you a good goalie now, or will we ask Frank that question?
A marble. On a bad day, I wouldn't block it.
But you enjoyed it, sure.
And I made great friends.
Yeah.
I made great friends.
Did you know Frank back in those days?
I did.
He was a hard man, I heard.
He was a good farmer.
Yeah. Did you come up against him?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic memories there, Frank.
But to move it on, Liam, the fact that you met Breeder and went to live in Grange, and I think you were instrumental in bringing hurling to Ardmore.
Well, no, there was hurling team. When I went to Ardmore in 1972, there was no hurling there.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
No, they were a football club, but they were a very good football club. No, they played hurling, but let me qualify that, just to fulfil a fixture. If they were up training, just a big ball they went for. And 72, 73, 74, we got it going. And then we were getting it. We had great footballers, and they could play hurling just as good as play football. And I bought Dick Ducey over in 1979. And we won the junior A grade championship in the county. And if you look back and come forward in to 2018, imagine, Ardmore are the only club in Waterford to win an All-Ireland championship in hurling since 1959.
That's right.
Well, yeah. Well done, everybody.
Yeah. And they were a great club.
Right.
And they're still a great club.
Excellent. Now, listen, do you know what we're going to do? Give you a chance for a breather there, Liam and Frank. We have a nice number here. The village where I went to school, before we kind of leave Ardmore and talk, well, we'll go back to it again in a minute, but it's the mighty Mr. Brendan Shine will be singing this for you, and that'll be right after this short ad break. So, listeners, don't go away. Our special guests here are the wonderful Frank Keane and equally wonderful Liam Gleeson, entertaining you with great old stories there. And as I said, we will have lots of good music as well after the ad break, featuring the one and only Mick Delahunty. And we'll have another number from Mr. Art Supple as well. So don't go away. Now.
That was lovely.
That was very nice indeed. And that was Mr. Brendan Shine there. In case you've joined us on the programme, it's a very special programme. And we have living legends here with us, Frank Keane, and on the phone from his home in Ardmore, Liam Gleeson. And I hope you're all enjoying the stories and the crack. And Liam, we were just saying, you were telling me yourself now, before we go back maybe to GA or whatever, your mother was quite an accomplished singer.
My mother was a fabulous singer. She sang in the old opera house in Cork. As a 17-year-old, she sang with Jack Martin, who was a garage man, a proprietor, just across the road from the Martin Middleton. And they sang a song in the old opera house by Ginny MacDonald and Nelson Eddy, When I'm Calling You.
We'll have that in a few minutes for you and the listeners. And tell us a little bit about your mam now and your dad.
My mother was Sis Cooney, or Margaret Cooney, but she was affectionately known as Sissy Cooney from Ballyglashan. She'd be Paddy Cooney's sister, and Mary Lawton, who's Father Packy Lawton's mother in Kelly.
Great man.
I was in Hawaii, and Paddy Cooney got rest him, who travelled with my mother in the train from Kelly up to the old opera house, and she was offered the job in Radio Éireann now.
Imagine that.
At 17 years of age, and her father, Dave Cooney, got rest him all, wouldn't let her go. Nowadays, they'd drive him to the station, or they'd drive
him to
the train, or they'd...
They would?
They'd drive him up and leave him there. But 3 years after, she met my father at May Sunday in Killa.
Oh, wasn't that a nice place to meet?
She said herself, the rest is history. She passed on the singing to the girls.
And what about yourself, Liam? Are you a bit of a singer?
My friend, and to a lesser degree, Ger.
Yeah.
I remember one day being asked to sing in the school and got through by Miss Glam. And I sang a verse of a song. I went to Kilkenny to buy a wee hen. I thought I would lie a wee egg now and then, but walk in the morning, 'cause I got the shock. Be that's the hen I can lay, I'm a cock. She said, Liam, stop.
And listen now, we'll have to pull you up here. You had to go to County Waterford to get a good woman, is that correct?
A good one, but she didn't last the pace, unfortunately. God rest
her. God rest her, yeah. And you were saying in May Sunday, that was a big event, wasn't it, in years gone by, Liam?
Excursion.
Yeah.
It was a big excursion. There was great matches there. There was inter-county matches there. I saw Willie Welsh and Tom Chastey playing against each other in the May Sunday tournament. There was great club matches there.
Wow.
And they'd tug off above the field and they'd parade up the village and up the McGeeler Road to the field, or it was a field behind Carl O'Brien's house, depending where the goals were for that year. But May Sunday was a big day out, a lot of music.
Yeah.
Festivals.
And tell me, Liam, when you moved, your family moved, can we just ask you about your dad now? What trade had your dad? What did he work at when he was working?
He was a tradesman. He could turn his hand to anything. And he didn't pass it on to me, I can tell you. I couldn't write the ale.
Tell me, why did the family go from Gortru? Why did you end up in Ardmore?
Because my wife, Rita, was from Ardmore.
All right.
Yeah.
And you had to keep the ladies happy.
Well, I went, what they call over here, clean as shock, I think of do.
Tell us more.
What? My only daughter, we met in Red Barn, and we danced there, we got married in 72, and she gave me three boys and a girl, thank God. And
thank God.
We 32 years of happy bliss, and then...
God bless her.
...taken quickly, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, we...
And Red Barn, just a little couple of stories, Liam, about Red Barn.
Well, you see... If you meant the first time any man should mention Red Barn in 58, it opened. The first man I should mention would be Noel Griffin, formerly of Pilmore, now living in Red Barn, about 200 metres from where the ballroom was. Noel was the man to go to. Buck Dick Lucy and Jerry Lucy had a great mass in him. He was the man that made every wheel turn. And his job was on the big nights, he would be at the stage door to let in the big stars. And he told me there recently, he was standing at the back door, the stage door one night, and a knock came to the door and he took the lock off and opened it. Who was walking in against him? Jim Reeves.
Wow.
All them chubby checker, all them fellas were on Red Barn that time, but I got through that list when you were ready to do so.
No, I was going to ask you, can you put a date or a rough date on when Jim Reeves was there, Liam?
I can't put the year. I'd say about 63.
Okay. Sure, that must have been a huge night, was it, Jim Reeves was there?
It was nights there. Chubby Checker was there. Art Supper was playing there that night.
Good man, Art.
Just talking about Art Supper for a minute, if we may.
Of course.
When he was playing Art Supper in the Victor Showman, he'd have a crowd any Sunday night he'd go there. 2,500 people.
Wow.
And he would keep them going for 3 or 4 hours, however long the dance would last for. And he would sing a song called Noreen Bourne. And you'd hear a pin fall. When he sang that song, 2,500 people would stop dancing in the floor or push towards the stage. He could hold them in the palm of his hand. And in the turn of a second, he could go into a showman's on parade and he'd do about 5 or 6 different artists who would be household names at the time. And you'd think, if he turned his back on supper, you'd think the artist was in the room.
We have that particular track, I think it's called Personality. We might play it in a minute or two. But on Red Barn itself, that was gone when I came to y'all, Liam. It was a mighty structure. And Frank, you might... Did you go to Red Barn in your bold days?
Of course, everybody... From all the other winter Red Barn.
I suppose everybody did. Did they, Liam?
Did you see? We'll go back to the show in a minute. But in 58, the first band to play in the show in Red Barn was a man from band from Belfast, a man with a wooden leg, Johnny Butler.
Right.
He was there for a week.
Well done, Johnny.
Johnny. He was there for a week. Johnny Quigley came, Morris Mulcahy, Clifford Carlton was the first show band to play there. Yes, they were very talented. They do a sketch every night. Amongst themselves, they put on the Narn Jumper and they were the Clancy Brothers, and there was a song going on at the time, There's a Hole in the Bucket.
Yes.
I won't tell you what he had in his hand.
But listen, there must have been a wonderful atmosphere in Red Barn, Dean, was there? If there was 2,500 people there.
2,000 people.
Wow.
And the two doormen were the two of the finest fellas you could ever meet, Freddy North and a fellow by the name of Pablo O'Rourke. And if they could hit you outside in Cable Island with that long reach they had if they wanted to, and they wouldn't hit a child.
Now, Liam, you can tell Frank and me, and there's no one listening, did you ask these fellas to let you in for nothing?
I got in for nothing. I couldn't afford to go in.
And what was it like inside? I'm sure it was a great atmosphere, as I said, was it?
Atmosphere, and I got a job there as a 15-year-old in the cloakroom. But sure, I spent more time in the dance floor than taking the coats. And the girl would have never caught her. The boy, a man would have in his coat, depending on the night. But ladies usually wore coats at that time.
Yeah.
And they'd go in and you'd give them a ticket. And they put the ticket in the sole of their shoe because they didn't have any other safe place to put it.
Yes.
And they were wearing sunbeam tights. And if one of them caught it in the corner of a wall or something going around dancing, they'd have a ladder and they'd be mortified for the night. Nylons then, the tights came later.
Very good. We'll take your word for it. I can't remember any of that because I was too young.
But move the car. Shift any girl in the hall.
And Frank, just we'll ask Frank your memories of Red Barn, a great place, I take it, for any young fella.
Well, I suppose a lot of memories we can't tell any.
This is a family show, indeed. Yeah.
But my goodness, you know.
Can you remember some of the bands you enjoyed?
Something else. But Johnny Dankwood came there, Liam.
Johnny Dankwood came there, and Joe Loss.
That's right, Joe Loss.
Joe Loss, yeah, I've heard of Joe Loss.
They were all famous bands at the time, big bands.
So Red Barn was one of the venues, Frank. It was
a wonderful place. You know.
There was 30 people in his band. And three singers come to mind. Rose Brennan.
That's correct.
Dublin lady. Larry Grattan. And a gentleman by the name of Ross McManus from the UK. They were lovely singers.
Very good. Now, I have a nice piece of music there. You mentioned it a few minutes ago, Liam. And that's Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald, and the song is, well, it's called Indian Love Call. So we might dedicate it to everybody who remembers Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald.
Very much.
A lovely number, just lining it up here now. And Liam, would you like to dedicate it to anybody now and your family or friends that might be listening in?
Sisters and my brother.
Very good. And we'll mention Frank and Joan and Thomas and Tig as well, and Helen here as well. And to all the good listeners there. And can I mention a big hello to Mag Carey for all the little plugs there. Thanks, Mag. Much appreciated. For you all, coming up to 7:15 here, as two special guests on the phone there, the wonderful Liam Gleeson and equally wonderful Frank Keane is with me in studio here. For you all, here is Indian Love Call. Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald. Now, that was Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald with the Indian Love Call. Liam, you enjoyed that, I hope?
I did. It brought me down memory. My mother was well able to sing it, even though she was moving on, and she was still able to. Nooch was a great fan of hers, but unfortunately, we made a grave error. We never recorded her singing.
Now, we put an old shout out there. Maybe somebody listening has a recording of your mother somewhere along the line. Stranger things have happened, Liam.
It would be very nice if you could pick it up, but sure, these things happen in life, don't they?
They did. And did your mother do much singing locally now in East Cork or West Waterford? Maybe somebody might have a tape of that.
Yeah, she sang in a lot of competitions now.
Yeah.
And she was with the band The Aces. They used to have a concert tour going around there, around East Cork.
Yeah.
And she used to go over there. Supper was very much involved in that. And Massey Lynch made a great contribution to the GA and to the music scene in Guthrie over the years. And a lot of other fellows whose name, Pat Smitty, I'm just trying to think of them now. But
yeah.
We had a lot of fun that time.
Very good. And listen, you wanted to mention a few people in Red Barn?
Well, some of the bands that played, I mentioned Clifford Carlton, Dolly Butler, Billy Lyde's band, and Michael O'Callaghan. I would have to say, I'll probably get killed for this, that Michael O'Callaghan was as good a sax player as you could. He was as good as Mick Delahunty to play the sax. He was from Buttevant. He was a household name. He was a fabulous sax player and a clarinet player. Hear him playing Stranger on the Shore, Acabill's One. I thought he was as good as Mick Delahunty to play that instrument. The Dixies, Butch Moore was there, the Platterman, Derek Dean in the freshman, Hugo Duncan.
Dickie Rock?
Oh, Dickie Rock was a household name. The Blue Note, Harry Cole and the Pieces of Ace. There was some great bands came there. The Magnificent Seven. Jim Liddy was singing a song by China Doll. Mm. But there's a couple of other important things in relation to Red Barn. Field Printers in Yall were the people who printed the posters every week.
Billy Fields?
Yes.
Yeah.
Willie O'Mahony, a friend of mine, now living in Gertrude, used to work there. And the man who always put up the posters?
Johnny Welsh.
Johnny the Juggler Welsh, Frankie. Johnny the Juggler Welsh, small man in stature, but very funny and a great man on stage. He used to work for Jerry Lucy, putting up the posters. The first thing we'd look at is the band. And the second thing we'd look at was the price of the dance.
Yeah. Tell us, how much were they typically?
Half a crown, 3 shillings.
But was that a lot now, Liam? Just
the one thing, when they were up to 7 bob,
yeah,
many fellas praying for the girls going in. And then it went up to a half note.
Yeah.
A half note was 10 bob.
Yeah. And what were fellas earning a week at that time, just to give listeners an idea, Liam?
Tommy.
Sorry, what, Liam, I was saying, if you were paying 10 bob to go in, how much would you have been earning, typically, a young fella in East Cork, West Waterford at that time?
What would he be making, about 10 a week?
A tenner, so that was a fair chunk out of your money.
And if you had a girlfriend and you had to pay for her in, you were... No, if you brought her in for a bottle of orange, you hope she wouldn't want a cake.
What did you get for the suppers? A bottle of orange and was there...
A cheesecake or something like that, or, you know, they were small, they were much because you couldn't afford them.
Well, Betty Murphy was very kind to Liam.
Who?
Betty Murphy.
Who was Betty Murphy, Frank?
Frank Murphy's wife, Betty.
And what job had
actually, she... Actually, Betty would be... Liz, that Jimmy, she answers the phone here for Jimmy on a Sunday morning.
Very good.
Liz.
Her?
She'd be a daughter of Betty Murphy.
Okay, and what was Betty's job?
And Betty was very kind. She was giving out the cakes.
All right.
You know, and of course, if she knew you at all, and she knew you had the price of a cake,
you get
she'd
one.
Slip it to you.
And sorry now, was there 2,500 cakes? So.
Oh my goodness, it was unbelievable. I'd say what John Hannon was supplying Liam, it was unbelievable.
I always remember that time, it was later the bars came. Paddy Maher had the bar.
That's right. Yeah.
There was a lot of matches finished inside here, Frank.
There was indeed. But go back to Paddy Hockney and BG and all those now, Liam. Paddy Hockney, of course, was in charge of the car parking. I suppose.
Bicycles. Bicycles,
we gave him an awful time.
He did, yeah. That coming out. Under.
And BG, Billy Gleason.
That's right, Billy Gleason walked there.
That's right, yeah.
Freddie North.
Well, of course, Freddie was a champion boxer.
He was.
And of course, lots of mercy in Pablo and Freddie. My goodness, as you said earlier on, you certainly wouldn't take them on.
Would we take you? And they were the two quietest men you could ever meet.
They were indeed.
But I'd say it was for, you know, despite the crowd, it was good fun and there wasn't too much nastiness, Liam and Frank, was there? Was it good?
I know.
You know, fellas kind of behave themselves, you know, by and large, did they?
Yeah.
But in fairness, I suppose, that time, you know, cars were scarce and, like, whoever had a car...
Yeah.
Football.
they were popular.
It was overcrowded, I suppose.
On the way home, yeah.
But in fairness to the Gardaí at the time...
Yeah, they turned a blind eye.
They turned a blind eye to it all.
Like, you could get 40 or 50 cars, that's as many as you'd get.
And of course, the ladies always looked at the end of the night for a man with a car.
I suppose, to get home.
To get home.
Yeah.
They'd have a set of keys in their pocket.
And Liam, people came from all over Munster, didn't they, to Redbourne?
They did.
In actual fact, Liam, you remember Dana. After shortly winning the Eurovision, she came to Redbourne.
She was gone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She sang 2 songs.
That's right.
Noel Griffin left the ring, and Noel Griffin left the
ring. Noel, you can get him later. Well, listen, I think we'll have a nice piece of music now. That it's very funny, really. You mentioned Art Supple there, Liam, and the different voices he could do if you turned your back.
He was known as Mr. Personality.
And that's what the name of this little piece is, and you'll recognise the various singers in it. And again, we'll play it for Art if you're listening this evening, and to all the Art Supple fans, and still doing a wonderful show, and please God, when this pandemic is over, we'd see Art back on stage. So for you, Liam, and everybody over in Ardmore, and all the Gleasons listening in this evening, here's Art Supple with Personality. Mr. Showman himself there, Art Supple, with a whole range of different voices. He did them all himself, listeners, in case you were wondering. Very, very talented, wasn't he, Liam?
He was really talented. He was a natural.
And still is. We better put it in the present tense. And just to remind you all that Art and Shane have a new album out celebrating 30 years working together, because Art is an artist in his own right with the Victors and the other bands, has gone on for much longer. But they have a new album out, himself and Shane, and it's well worth looking out for. After we're going to take a little ad break, we'll have another number by Mick Della Hunty, and Liam, we might get you talking about John Duggan and the famous music man himself and orator, and also we better mention your very famous son Brian.
Oh, famous, I don't know.
He takes after you, Liam, does he?
He's not, no, he's the mother's side of the back. He's intelligent.
So listen, we put on the cup of tea, listeners. My two special guests are staying with me, and they are Liam Gleeson and Frank Keenan. I hope you're enjoying them as much as I am. We'll take an ad break, and we'll have another number from Mick Della Hunty right after the ad break. I wonder who's kissing her now, from the marvellous band Mick Della Hunty and his orchestra there. And what a wonderful number. That was a special request from our own special guest, one of my own special guests here this evening, and that was a particular favourite of Liam Gleeson. And Liam, Frank and I were saying there during that song, sure, there was such a big crowd, they used to have a special train coming down to y'all.
In 51, he started a 10-year stint. And the first man you'd meet when you go into Perks was be Jumbo Perks. He had the biggest arms I ever seen any man Jumbo Perks had. They were like the saline of a butt.
Wow.
He smoked a big cigar, but he was a lovely man, and he was a great neighbour. And the other man was a good true man as well. He was Jim O'Halloran was the man, we call him the chucker out, the man taking the tickets.
The Count.
The Count, they used to call him. But he was a different doorman to what you'd normally meet. If you went in and decided to come back out again, you'd normally get a ticket from the man at the door. But Jimmy gave you no ticket. But he'd know every man going out, and he'd know when he'd come back in.
Very good.
A long time there. But you see, there was never 4,000 or 5,000 people in the showboat. The showboat was for dancers. And as Dave Maxillan got through one time, Dave McCarthy, affectionately known as Dave Mac, his son was Derry McCarthy. Derry Mac lived in Yall. He used to teach dancing to young people. And he was always say, you only need two things to be a good dancer: good timekeeping and good carriage. After that, the rest takes over itself. But Mick Della Hunty was known at the time as the Glyn Miller of Ireland.
Wow.
Two brothers in the band with him, Jackie playing the drums and Paddy playing the drums, correction, and Jackie playing the bass guitar. And he had a trumpet player from Callaghan Store. It's important I mention this man's name. His name was Paddy Cal. And for those of you who didn't hear Paddy Cal and listen to Johnny Cal, he was in that mould. He was the lead trumpeter with Mick Dell. And he had two daughters and a son. And both his daughters came to live in Yall. Betty Carroll married Kevin Hennessy, rest in peace. And the other sister was Gertie Lupton, married Bertie Lupton.
And hopefully they're listening in and they're alive and well here in Yall. Good evening, Gertie and Bertie.
And Paddy Carroll had a son called Danny Carroll. He's still alive, thank God, and living in Clonmel. And he was very instrumental in this CD, the revival of it.
Very good.
And
is it still available, this CD, do you think, Liam?
Yes.
It's called, in case any listeners would like to know, Mick Della Hunty and his orchestra, The Lost Recordings, 1948. going back to 1948, with extensive sleeve notes on it.
It's very good.
It's excellent.
And there was a couple of other fellas playing with him. Their lead singer was a lovely crooner called Denny McNamara. And when you'd hear him playing Cool Clear Water, or There's a Bridle Hanging on the Wall, I can tell you, well, you want to be able to dance then. And Mick Dildin would quicken it up, and he'd play an instrumental number called Zambezi, which was called after a river in Africa, Zambezi. There was a bit of dancing in that now, Tommy.
And tell me now, when I did a small bit of dancing to Brendan Boyer and the likes in Tralee, the ladies would be on one side and the men would be on the other side. Was that true in the Showboat and Red Barn, in your opinion, Liam?
I wasn't dancing at all. What we were dancing, we were doing Red Barn. There was no comparison to what we did in the Showboat. We were playing Craw Park in the Showboat.
And had it a special, different atmosphere, so, Liam?
Oh, twas. And you wanted to be able to dance, and like the old vintners used to have a dance there once a year. That's the night to go. Everyone would be out.
And Frank, you were telling me that people, you sit on the wall,
smile,
listening.
I sat on the wall myself, Tom. My God Almighty, the music was absolutely beautiful. But do you remember E.P. Stanley, Liam?
I don't.
Yeah, E.P. Stanley was the person. He lived in the Low Road in Cork. He arranged all the trains, especially the Showboat Express on a Saturday night.
Now, Frank, for those of us that weren't around, what was the Showboat Express, please? I've heard a lot.
That was
about
the train. Come from
special train, was it?
Kent Station in Cork, the old railway station, on a Saturday night, and a lot of the men, they met their wives
on the train.
Off the train, in Showboat.
And did you tell me
as Liam would verify.
And did the band go down to the train? Tell me that
Mick
story.
Mick Dillahunty went down with his saxophone and played the people on the train. My God, there was hundreds on the train, sure, Liam, as you will know.
The train. And at the same time, I was Tombo Zhang rang me this morning, another good dancer from Clashmore. He told me that he remember the Showboat, not the Stand Palace and the Showboat going at the one time, and Mick went down during a break and played a couple of tunes with the band in the Stand Palace.
So,
wow.
And of course, we'll have to remember Bobby Atkins.
Of course.
He was a wonderful man. He was the owner of the Strand Palace. And I suppose that's where it all started, Liam, the Strand Palace, more or less, before Showboat came on.
The Strand Palace.
Yeah.
Was there a bit of competition between these venues now?
No.
No.
By the one man.
Yeah.
So, Frank.
Right. So the Showboat was, pardon me now asking, was where Mick Dillahunty had his residency. Was that right? In the Showboat?
Yes.
And the other place, the Strand Palace, what happened there?
The Strand Palace was preceded the Showboat.
Oh, right. Okay.
The Strand Palace was back in the 40s.
Okay.
And then the Showboat came on stream. It was a more modern ballroom. It was elevated up higher. And the band was up over it. They had a kind of a stage high up. We call it the second floor. Are you with me?
I am, yeah.
He'd be standing out over the balcony and he playing the sax. And Danny McNamara, yes, he was a great singer. And he'd be singing that Bridle Hanging on the Wall. I mean, they were great songs.
Very good. And they went on for, these dances went on till the early hours, didn't they, Liam?
In the morning.
9 to 2.
Correct.
9 to 2, by God.
It's important to say this. The Mick Dillahunty played with sheet music. The showmans played by ear. Do you understand me, Tommy?
I understand, yes, Liam.
They read the music. There was little things in front of them, and they would turn over the page and they'd play. They were real musicians now.
Yeah.
Paddy Callan now and all them fellas and Mick Dell, they were strict musicians.
Very good. And tell me now, what happened to the poor fellows who couldn't dance? They couldn't go to the Showboat, could they not?
That wouldn't hardly be so.
So was it kind of couples only in the Showboat?
Ah, no, you'd meet a couple of stragglers there as well, you know.
They were called leggers.
Go on, Frank.
Leggers.
Were you a legger now, Frank?
I was a legger, yeah.
John, he wasn't, I'm sure.
Well, Jim Coleman now.
Yeah.
One of our senior presenters here. Jim was a wonderful dancer.
Evening, Jim, if you're listening.
And great memories. Jim would great memories of Strand Palace in particular.
Okay.
You know, that's where the real dancers, I suppose, before Showbird came on stream.
But Tommy and Frank, the saying goes, dancing is an expression of one's character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Quite true.
It taught me. My father wasn't a great dancer. Yeah. We only hopping around the floor, she said. Yeah.
But Liam, my impression is you were a good dancer.
Well, but we'd hold our own anyway, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Very good.
Up is a show. I'd rather be after winning two All Irelands than to be.
Liam, before we, it's 1945, but we must refer back to your time in Ardmore with the late Jim Lane.
Oh yes,
you did Congress. A sketch. You did a sketch that particular time for the
SVP.
Yeah, that's correct, Jay.
We done a mime show.
That's correct.
Well done, Liam.
Yeah.
We didn't...
Leisureland. We were in Leisureland, Liam. In Galway.
In Galway with it.
Yeah.
Were you in it, Frank?
No, no. Liam and Jim Lane.
Jim Lane, yeah.
Yeah.
We call ourselves the entertainers.
The entertainers, yeah.
Having TV. Yeah. When Jim was taken from his airline.
Yeah.
Tell us about that now.
Well, what we did was we got Michael O'Brien to record all the actors we wanted to play. We played Jackie Healy Ray playing the sax, which was a Mick Dillahunty number we played, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Saxophobia. We done Johnny Carroll's Stranger on the Shore in the trumpet. Jim done Jake the Pig with the three legs. Jim and I done Rini and Renata. We done Faustin and Alan. I done Ronnie Rennell. I can't remember. There was about 18 or 20 of them there.
And Liam, is this recording available now for us to play sometime on CRY?
It is, but there's only... We have it on a DVD.
OK, but we can... The lads here can adapt that. We'll have to have you back, so, and you can be...
You could be closed down tomorrow.
But it was for a great cause, the Vincent de Paul, was it?
Fun making it.
Yeah.
Jim never had done any mime in his life. Jim was a live mic. We had five mics in front of us and they were all dead. I did an awful job to convince Jim that you won't be using the mic. And he used to say to me, what is the inter?
Tell us, Liam, now, Ardmore itself nowadays, it's a lovely spot, isn't it, to be living in?
There's those people who haven't walked the cliff walk since it was done up.
Yes.
Missing something special. It's very safe. You can walk there in your slippers. There's a fabulous railing, safety railing, all around, and you can walk anti-clockwise or clockwise. And it's a lovely place to go.
Very good. Liam, I'm always interested when people were young, so can I ask you to go back now for a minute for our listeners? When you were a small boy and at home in Gortrue, can you tell me what things did you do in your spare time?
Mostly hurling. Going over to Mickey Simon's field, playing the ball, and listening to me all over here, it was all radio. You must remember, we had no electricity till 1954, my friend.
Okay, so you had oil lamps, as it at home?
Tilly lamps.
Tilly lamps, yeah.
You were rich if you had a tilly lamp. My mother told me when we got electricity in 54, and she said, when I saw all the dust around the corners, she came to the conclusion it was a dirty house with it. They never came into the valley.
And at special times now, like your... Can we ask you, since you have a fantastic memory, what did you get for your birthday?
A hurling ball. A hurling ball, that was a half a crown. And I don't know how old it was before I got a hurling, because we couldn't afford it.
Okay.
A hurling was... You'd go to a match, and there'd be fellas at half-time sucking an orange, and you'd borrow the hurling to go for a puck around the field.
Yeah.
That's the facts of it.
And tell me now, in your family, let's give them a little mention before we finish, had you brothers and sisters?
Tess was my second sister. She sang with Patsy Irwin and Art Supple and all them in the Patsy Irwin All-Stars.
Wow.
Marie used to sing a lot in the choir and got through, and she does a bit of funerals, and there's no weddings now and there's no funerals either.
Yeah.
And they were all good singers, but some of us didn't get that talent, so...
Yes, you did, if you were involved in all these little sketches you were talking about. Frank, he's underselling himself here.
Liam was a great entertainer.
And still is.
And still is.
I'm sure everybody's enjoying this chat. Liam, we're coming rapidly towards the 8 o'clock and Anne Crowley will be here with a nice programme between 8 and 9 and Gerry Murray between 9 and 10. We'll have to have you back.
I think you won't be having me back.
Sean McCarthy rang in anyway saying that he's enjoying the programme. Sean, we'll have you back some other time as well. Thank you very much for offering, but technically we can only have X number of guests at the moment. But Frank, sorry I interrupted you.
Liam, I suppose time is rapidly running out, but I must ask you about your great friendship with John Duggan.
God rest him. He was a gallant, and he was a long for man. And he came out and when he qualified the gas, he came to Crumlin. And then he wasn't happy in the city. He was a country boy at heart. And he went to the west of Ireland and the Castlebar. And he retired from the gas and he was writing songs. And I had him doing a piece one night on one of the radio stations. And I got in touch with him. And we got a lot of work done in the hurling and football scene. He had a lot of stuff done before that of Dying Ireland, lonely songs. And then, doing a very good one, A Gard in the Country. And if you want a good laugh, John Duggan doing A Gard in the Country would make anybody laugh.
That's great to hear. Listen now, I'll have to put you on the spot here. We're hearing that there'll be inter-county matches coming up, please God, in the not-too-distant future. You that's living in Ardmore, Liam, with your Gortrue connections, I want to know who you'd be shouting for should Waterford and Cork meet up. Please, for the record.
I give the answer that Bill O'Connor said. He said, come on, lads.
Listen, Liam.
It was a long time. I was at the last one, 1959.
Yes.
I'd like to see him winning one.
I would too.
Cork winning one too. They're overdue. We're overdue.
Yeah, I'd like to see either Cork or Waterford winning something now this year. It'd be great. And listen, Liam. We'll have to finish up, but we have a nice little piece of music by Mick Delahunty to finish for you, Frank, all your families and all our good listeners who tuned in this evening and everybody here in CRY who gave us a help. It's American Patrol. And if I was to ask you one last thought for the moment, Liam, one last little story that you'd like to share with the listeners.
Enjoy yourself, as the song says, 'tis later than you think.
Okay. And Frank, a little word from yourself.
Well, it was a pleasure, Liam, to cooperate with you.
Yeah.
Because, my goodness, your knowledge of sport. I was just saying to Tommy off here there, if we could get Mickey Welsh and Liam Gleeson together, my God, what memories.
And before we go, two kind people, Dave and Teresa Hines, have texted in, Liam, saying that they're enjoying yourself and Frank, and thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And listen, would you be willing to come back on again if the money is right in a little while?
Into my contract.
we'll up it. And listen, we'll have to give a special mention, because CRY wouldn't exist without the sponsors, to Brian, your son, for being kind enough to sponsor the Sunday Morning Show.
Okay, we're a pleasure. We're delighted to be associated with it.
Well, I think it's a credit and just a little appeal out there. We could do with a few more sponsors when this pandemic is over. But we thank you most sincerely, Liam and Brian, for your support for CRY. Liam, it's been an absolute pleasure to hear yourself and Frank, and our special thanks to Art for providing us with some of the music, and to you, Liam, for the wonderful CD, Mick Delahunty. Can we dedicate our last song to you and to thank you very, very much and to wish you all the best for the coming year, and up Cork and up Waterford. We better qualify both.
You're doing well, and it was my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Liam, and thank you, Frank.
Thank you very much.
And don't forget to join Frank tomorrow, Sunday morning, between 9 and 10. Himself and Noel do a very nice show, light and easy, and it certainly is that, and gets off our Sundays off to a great start. Many thanks, Joan, Frank, and we'll include Joan in this piece as well. And to all your family, extended family, Liam, in Gortrue and in Ardmore, we'll dedicate this last number to you, American Patrol. Thank you very much, Liam.
Thank you.
And thank you, Frank.
Good night, Liam.
Good night indeed, Liam. And good night, Frank. And good night, listeners.